Evening, citizen.
Jack Death, Angel City PD. May I see your stats?
What did I do?
Under Section 7 of the Penal Code, the council authorized me to administer you a transfer suspect examination.
You can't give me a TSA without a warrant.
I got your warrant right here, pal.
Okay. I don't want any trouble.
Hold out your left arm.
I got nothing to hide.
Negative.
Look out! She's an old lady!
She's a transfer! Goddammit, help me!
This is the emergency podcast system. This is not a test. Movies are bombing all over the country. They are posing as movies you already know. They may already be in your theaters, your neighbor's home, or even your own. Do not panic. Specialists have been dispatched. They will help you identify these pretenders and defend you against this invasion of the remake. Please stand by for further instructions.
Welcome to the Invasion of the Remake podcast, where we may or may not be trancers. Sam Stepanenko? Damn it. Trish Coughlin?
Hey.
Hey, oh, you're good.
Oh, damn it, Sam.
He sounds better than usual.
Fuck you.
See, that's how you get him out of the trance.
There you go.
Assault me, do it.
Do it. All right, well, I think that gives it away. We're doing Trancers this week.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to remake the Full Moon movie, Trancers, from 1984.
Yes.
That spawned 5 sequels and a short film, and Jack Death does reappear in Evil Bong.
Yes, so, I saw that too. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck?
Clearly, things go horribly, horribly wrong for Jack. I'll have to look. I have never seen Evil Bong. I think I've seen up to 3 or 4 of Trancers. Yeah.
I think I might have stumbled upon Evil Bong, like, just in a TV scanning episode of something. And I didn't know what it was.
On Tubi. Every single one of them is on
Tubi.
Yeah,
pretty much the whole Full Moon library is on Tubi for free. Mm-hmm. If you can stand a few ads once in a while.
Yeah.
Some of the ads are pretty funny, too. I still don't get Captain Toker, though.
Nobody does.
So, basically, this movie is Charles Band's Marlowe, Jacob Marlowe. He's just this grizzled detective-type cop in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And a terrible, terrible cop, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the things I think I'd like to fix a little bit.
Yeah, we got some work to do. Holy shit. Like, okay, what is a trancer? Let's
thank you for bringing that up.
Let's just start with that. In this movie, from what I gather, there's a character named Whistler who hypnotizes people into turning into zombies.
But
yes.
Like stealth zombies, because they look human until they're revealed, and then all of a sudden they become zombies.
Which I really like the idea.
Yes.
But
then somehow
doesn't make sense.
And
we will make it sense.
True. And then somehow when you kill them, they're nothing but a scorch on the ground.
Yeah. The next film in the series, The Brother of Whistler.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. But it does kind of show that there's a little more of a process to making trancers other than just looking at them weird.
Right?
I mean, that's part of it. It looks like it's more chemical and hypnosis.
Hmm.
So we'll come up with some other ideas along the way. This is something that comes from the future. Maybe we should embrace that a little bit more.
A little bit, yeah.
And clearly for a time travel movie, they have no idea how time travel works.
No, and it seems really weird where you can send stuff back, but not all stuff back.
Yeah, well, why can you send, like, a gun and
antidote,
what they call antidote, which basically return, because he's not technically traveling back in time. It's only his mind traveling back into a descendant's body. Now, they can send shit back, so why don't they just send him back? And in the second movie, they do that, because his body has been carbonized. It's been sitting there too long, ossified or something. His wife has actually been sent in the past to retrieve Jack, despite the fact she's already dead, according to this film. So she's sent back moments before her death to be condemned to death when she returns.
Good Lord.
So she's got nothing really to return back to. So, but they do have this chamber that they can send back. So in which case, they can time travel. They don't need to do what they're doing.
Yikes. Yeah, I mean, there's a simple explanation.
Let alone Whistler trying to wipe out the council's family members, descendants.
Yeah, it's very Terminator in that respect.
Yeah, if you're wiping out some councilman's past, then it doesn't just wipe out that dude from existence and everybody's fine with it. But they notice that, no, that dude would not exist. You would not remember that.
Yes. And not just that, when you think about how many generations there is, there's not just one baby that comes and then you just like clone the next person down. There's a spread out of many, many people who would die because of that.
Well, and you think about all those changes, like, okay, that chairman was a prominent position, so was probably somebody of some significance, maybe came up the ranks.
Yeah.
So every bust that they made, every decision they made, everything that has been wiped out, like everything changes. It's that butterfly effect.
And not even that.
It shouldn't work.
If they're gone, why wouldn't somebody else be in that position? Because they never existed, right? It should be somebody else who just is there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I
do have some solutions to that.
Well, it could work, but you have to address it, right? Mm-hmm. It's story-wise, right? Is when that counselor, his bloodline is terminated right there, then something in the future should change.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Not just him dying.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. So we're on the same wavelength there, okay? Because you're right. There is a ripple effect. It's not just that one person.
But we don't see that. That person's gone now.
Yeah.
Oh, but they do make reference to, like, his children and grandchildren go, but, I mean, there's many other people who would die as well.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and that's what Jack's been sent back to do, is to protect the chairman's families, to keep that from happening.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is if that bloodline ends, then the other chairman people wouldn't even remember him.
No. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like, they wouldn't remember him at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you should have, like, McNulty show up and be like, I know we sent you back, but I'm not quite sure why. Like, he's gone there to find out what the fuck.
Well, they know why. Because they wouldn't know why, because there's still the other chairman who knows why they sent Jack back. They just don't remember these other chair people.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That would be part of the information you might be looking for.
Yeah, it wouldn't just be this, oh, the chair's empty now. No, it would be everybody would not remember this person because the person never existed.
No. And they might be sitting there going like, no, our chairs are full. Why are you here?
Exactly. Yeah. There'd be other chair people there. Yeah.
Yeah. And whatever they did in the past, either somebody else might have done it or it never happened either. So, I mean, the whole world would be changed.
Yeah, and like Whistler would, like, once he got rid of one, he'd just have to get rid of another and another, because there's no way you can catch up to that because somebody else occupies the position.
Mm-hmm. And he's doing this because he wants to claim the seat of power for himself. Well, what is that?
Yes.
Like, what are you going for?
It doesn't look like things are... I'm sorry, but it doesn't look like things are going super awesome. It really doesn't.
Well, especially when we lay it out like that.
Yeah. So it's like going, like, I don't know, if you're sending it back, it's like, what? How much worse could it get? Like, I mean, what's the problem? Send him back, see what happens.
Logic does not flow very well on this, and it's not like they didn't do time travel stories before this was made.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not very well thought out.
Well, the thing with Terminator, the reason that sort of works, because he sent back to the actual person who's going to be alive in the future.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, that is a threat to their...
That's an immediate threat.
Yeah, the machines want to rule this world or take control of this world, and this rebellion is happening because of this rebellious leader. Yeah, yank him out of the timeline, he's done. We don't have to worry about it. He's the biggest threat. He's really the only threat they've got. And then everything proceeds as normal for them and without impedance.
And it's specifically him. It's not a whole bunch of generations beyond that.
Yeah.
So we could change that, actually. I just had an idea pop into my head. How about that?
Nice.
What if instead of the chairs, it's the people who created a cure for transfers?
I have something along those lines.
Yeah, okay, like I said, it just popped into my head, so it's not fully formed. But.
Yeah, we'll work on this. But I had the idea of... this is a cabinet that's controlling. I get the feeling it's society in general, not just these cops that are patrolling for Trancers. Like, Jack Death is this Marlowe-esque guy who's totally out of control. Now, we might have to change his character along with this, but what if he's a good cop and this is a corrupt government
that
has been secretly tweaking time along the way?
To give them power.
Yeah. Whereas Whistler is onto this as a former Trancer cop himself, or maybe just a former part of this government who's gone rogue because he wants to take them down.
Well, and
so now Jack has been sent to in pursuit of this, and your movie is about him pursuing somebody who's actually the good guy. It doesn't find out until fairly late in the film what's actually been happening.
Yeah.
That changes the dynamic.
It's a little Total
Recall-esque.
And there's another bit where they kind of, there's some sort of allusion to it. You can kind of see the nugget of that in the original, where I guess McNulty comes to see him and he's like going, no, you take the assignments we give you. He's going rogue to take care of Trancers, but they're not looking for those. No. Like he's been told by his boss, is like, no, you can't do this. So that's a little bit of something that's
They set that up right away. Jack Death is just hitting up regular citizens and checking them to see if they're Trancers, despite the fact that he needs a warrant to do so.
Yep.
And he just points a gun at their head and is like, you're going to let me check. Here's my warrant.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, that opening scene. So really, there's that one moment where the Trancers are getting ready to hit him with the pot, and he turns and he's like ready for it before he's like, okay. We need somebody who can direct action better.
And I kept looking at them like, I know he's wearing a coat, but boiling water will still cause problems because it soaks through. So sorry. But I didn't appreciate the fact that he tries to grab the gun, but because it's been in the pot, it's hot and he can't grab it right away. That little note, I do say, was good.
Finally, a little attention to detail.
Yeah. That's the only attention in that scene, but yes.
Yes. You watch that and you're like, oh, what am I in for? It gets better.
Yes, it does. Much better.
And it's funny because you kind of expect an action film, especially from somebody like Full Moon. There's not a lot of action in this movie.
It's given no budget. That's also a hallmark.
You can only do so much.
Yeah, but yeah, it's actually very story-driven.
Which is good. I like a story.
All right, well, let's get into the trailer and we'll be right back and we'll dive into Trancers from 1984.
I'm Jack Death. I'm a trooper in the 23rd century.
Jack Death, Angel City PD. May I see your stats?
What did I do?
Under Section 7 of the Penal Code, the council authorized me to administer you a transfer suspect examination.
You can't give me a TSA without a warrant.
I got your warrant right here, pal.
Okay. I don't want any trouble.
Hold that.
My job is hunting Trancers.
I got nothing to hide.
Finding them.
Negative.
And singeing them.
Look out!
Of course, sometimes they find me first. Then it's a little more complicated.
How do you know Whistler's location?
We monitored a line disruption in Los Angeles, December 1985. And Zant, Ash, and I all had ancestors in the city then.
If you think I'm bringing that scum up the line, you got the wrong trooper.
Unless you stop Whistler, everything the council has accomplished for the last 40 years will count for nothing.
Okay, let's say I believed it. You're a cop from the future and you're chasing this guy Piper.
Whistler.
Why doesn't he just turn you into one of these zombies? Or me?
Trancing only works on squids, people with weak minds, easily controlled. Lena, I'm from another time, another world. I don't even know what you people eat for lunch.
Okay, I got fried rice, egg rolls, and beef chow mein.
Beef? Like from a cow?
I thought it was rough in the 23rd century. I didn't know how hot it could get.
Jack?
How's my tan? It was getting hotter all the time.
Jack?
I guess I just attract a certain element no matter what century I'm in. I gotta run now.
I wanna ride with the lady.
Over here, Ashby!
never even been here before. Trancers.
That was Trancers from 1984, directed by Charles Band, most famous for producing The Puppet Master, and we covered him before in episode 167.
Metal Storm.
Metal Storm, with Tim Thomerson.
Metal Storm, The Destruction of Jared Sin. Yes, also starring, well, smaller role in Metal Storm, but yes, they've worked together often, clearly with six of these Trancer films. Yes.
And Evil Bong.
And Evil Bong. And the Dollmans.
Yes.
Yep.
They work together a lot.
Charles Band is essentially responsible for Tim Thomerson's career.
A good hunk of it, anyway. Yeah. And probably doesn't make a lot. Clearly doesn't live in a mansion if he's working with Charles Band all this time.
Well, maybe he likes to work with Charles Band.
Oh, I'm sure. I probably would, too. These movies are certainly fun. And would he have been able to lead an action film otherwise?
Yeah. It's a Jason Mewes, Kevin Smith type of deal. They just have a marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. Written by Danny Bilson and Paul DeBeo, who together wrote things like Rocketeer, The Zone Trooper, and created the Viper television series. Mm. Paul DeBeo actually also created the Sentinel and the Flash TV series in the 90s.
Ooh. Yeah, they have a sort of a good pedigree. And this movie's not a bad story. I mean, it's got flaws. It's got flaws.
Huge holes, but it's enjoyable to watch.
Flaws as long as the movie is. You know, it's funny how well-rated this is, considering how stupid it is at times. IMDb rates it a 6 out of 10, and Rotten Tomatoes gives it an 83%.
What?
Critic score, 83. I mean, the audience is more realistic at 52.
Oh, thank goodness.
So, but I don't know, who the fuck is reviewing this at 83%? I mean,
we gotta dig deep on that.
It's fun, and Trancers is one of my favorite Full Moon franchises. I really do enjoy those films as the continuity progresses. It really doesn't kick off until the 90s because Trancers 2 didn't come out until 91, so there's a big gap.
Okay.
I am truly stunned that they got Helen Hunt back for as many of these as they did.
Yeah,
absolutely.
She had an okay career before she did this. I mean, she's really young in this first movie, but she's back for two more.
Yeah.
After that. I mean, granted, I did watch Trancers 2 afterwards, and she's barely in it. And I think it's even less in Trancers 3, if my memory serves. So she does, her career is like, okay, I owe you guys something. I'll make an appearance kind of thing. But it would have been shortly after, or right around Trancers 3, I think Mad About You was
That's what I was about to say. Like, Mad About You was, she blew, she was doing really well before then. But she blew big after that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, you know, she obviously was appreciative. A lot of people who worked with Charles Band kept coming back, so he obviously treated people really well.
Sounds like he's good to work with.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like, you're signing up maybe not for a big paycheck, but for an enjoyable experience.
Mm-hmm. When you start really looking at his earlier films, like, there's a lot of good talent that came out of them.
Absolutely.
For sure, yeah.
Okay, as we said, starring Tim Thomerson as Jack Death, episode 167, Metal Storm, and 176,
Near Dark.
We talked about him there as well. Helen Hunt was Lena. She would be in the next two after this. And, of course, we mentioned Mad About You and Twister. She's been lots of good stuff. Michael Stefani was Whistler.
Who was in next to nothing.
He was got recurring roles in Bonanza and Mission Impossible. But his career was, the peak of his career was well before this movie.
Yes.
So this was kind of near the end of his career. Art LaFleur was in this. We always like seeing him and stuff. And he's, I don't know, there's something about Art LaFleur, even though he was pretty raw in this one.
Yeah, I thought we'd seen him in more.
I thought so too. But
he does cross over.
Yeah, we've got him in episode 19.
The Blob.
And episode 26.
Missed that one.
Oscar.
I wasn't here for that
one. Know we talked about him after that, but I don't.
I only found The Blob.
There is another one, and I'm trying to think
of what it was too.
It was when you were here, Sam, and
I know it was.
Because when I found those, I'm like, well, those are pre-Sam, and I know Sam was here for Art LaFleur.
And I couldn't find it. His resume is really long.
My God, you start getting tunnel vision after a while.
Yeah, all these resumes are really long. They're all like 130, 140.
big, very busy careers for a lot of these people.
Because these are the guys who take work for the sake of taking work. They're not prima donnas who only take big films.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and there's some guys who are, again, at the end of their careers and had long acting careers. Yeah. And we'll get to them. Thelma Hopkins was in this, and she's most famous for being in Family Matters. She would actually return in the same role for the next two films as well. She was the engineer, Rains.
I wanted more of her.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They do a little bit more with her later. Like, I think she's in the short. She's got a little bigger part in two, and I don't remember three at all. Richard Hurd was Chairman Spencer, who had a great career and was probably difficult to keep, which is probably why they wiped out his family tree in the movie. He's been in a ton of stuff. This movie's what I call like a treasure trove of that guy you saw in that thing that one time.
Yes.
It's been a while since I've used that. And he was in V and Sequestius V and Star Trek Voyager and most recently in Get Out. It's a really long career, and he's been in lots of genre material. And Seymour was Chairman Ash, and she was in Field of Dreams. Miguel Fernandez was Officer Lopez, and believe it or not, he was in episode 33.
Ghost Story.
That's right. It's one of Sam's earliest.
Yeah, I think it was like the second or third official episode.
That's right. And was in the original Rabbit, which we'll probably cover next year sometime, so because it has recently been remade. Biff Maynard was Hap Ashby, who was also in the Flash television series. Peter Scrum was Santa Claus, and he's in Terminator 2, and guess what? We have talked about this gentleman, or at least the movie he was in before, and your eyes are getting big, and they're going to get even bigger when I tell you, because it was episode 170.
Galaxina.
Which almost one was a year he in ago. That? Oh, I didn't write down his name, but I knew it when I saw it.
As soon as I saw his eyes, I'm like, we've talked about him before.
I didn't recognize him, but I've blocked a lot of Galaxina out already.
Yeah.
for obvious reasons, but if you want to hear us talk about it, it was episode 170.
See, I haven't blocked it out. I didn't block out what we did with it, which was pretty good. So
it was pretty good, yes. Barbara Perry was Mrs. Claus, another minor role, and her resume was so huge. I'm not going to list it, but she passed away at the age of 97, and she acted from 1933 into 2017.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
It's pretty impressive, eh?
It is super impressive. Brad Logan was Bull, and he was in Vamp and Copacabana. Go to the Copa. No, don't watch
that's
that
movie. That's not the tune.
I don't want to get flagged by YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Frickin' YouTube. Minnie Summers, Lindsay, played Mom, quote unquote. And another one with a really long resume. She was in Ghost and Rising Sun, and she passed away at the age of 89. She was born in 1912, and she acted from 1974 to 96. So her career itself was, you know, about a 22, 24-year span. But,
and she had late start, too.
That's
unusual. It's
so
cool.
She kind of played a senior for most of her acting career. Here's another one. Richard Erdman was the Drunken Wise Man. He passed away at the age of 93 just this year.
Oh, my.
And was born in 1925. His career spanned from 1944 to 2017 and was most recently a regular on Community.
Oh, wait. He was Leonard.
There you go. That's right.
That's it. I knew his face. Yay.
And Allison Croft was the baby McNulty, the little girl that McNulty transfers into. And she was a regular on Dallas.
Cool.
In the 80s.
That was one of my favorite parts of the whole movie, actually.
Yes.
That's something I don't think I changed too much.
Yeah. Oh, no. I want that to happen again.
Yeah. I like the idea of actually, I have a way to fix the flaw in the time travel as far as being able to send back items but not people is they can only send back non-organic materials.
Yeah, it's the opposite of the Terminator thing, actually.
It's the opposite.
Nothing complex mechanical, but they can sell. That's why they wrapped it into organic material.
Yeah. Right. So it's a fairly simple fix, but they can still send minds back into their own bloodline or genetic line, which I think is actually a fun idea.
I still like that. I'd like to stick with that. Mm-hmm. I had to laugh because you do find out that Jack Death is his own like great-great-great-great uncle or something like granddad or something like that. Yeah. The body he transfers into is Philip Death, so his name didn't change. And so,
wasn't it Deathman or something like that? It was slightly different.
Was it slightly different?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, maybe it was. Even though the genetics is proper because it would have been Philip's little swimmers instead of Jack's.
Well, but, it's Futurama.
Yeah. And they had that running joke, too, where he would transfer into the body right after it had sex.
Yes.
So he didn't know. Well, he's like, damn it.
Which I found highly entertaining.
It's so funny.
Yeah, that's a good joke.
Although I found it a little bit insulting, because I'd be like, if I was Lena, you can tell the difference between who you're with. Like, she should fucking be able to tell.
Well, she's never actually had sex with Jack.
No, she hasn't. But, I mean, she should be like, oh, no, these are recycled moves from the other night. She should know that.
And clearly, Phil was pretty good because he was a player. We found that drawer full of photos. It's like, oh no.
And I have something interesting to say about her introduction.
I would have liked to have seen Philip waking up going, oh, I'm still with her. Okay.
Yeah. No, I have some thoughts about that.
Share. You can share now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, we've talked about like the whole point that they say is like Lena's too strong-minded to be turned into a trancer, right? So I have this whole idea
easily
like
easily picked up in a punk bar,
right?
By some dude.
Why would she fall for his bullshit?
Yeah.
So I had the idea that Lena totally sees through Phil, and the reason she's gone there is to.
Thought he was handsome and wanted a quick lay.
No. He fucked over her friend, so she came by to grab some of the stuff that she left there. Her friend left there. She's there to, and maybe a few other things. She's there to rip him off. I think she's, because she's, and she's not falling for this shit. And I like the, I also want the idea to be that when she says, did you mean what you said last night? And when he doesn't know and doesn't lean into it, she's like, okay, this is a little off. And the reason that she actually believes Jack is because everything he says isn't engineered to get into her pants. Mm. So she's like, well, I mean, I kind of get this as being the truth because Phil would say everything to get into my pants. You are saying nothing to get into my pants. In fact, you are actively repelling my pants you're saying.
I like it a lot.
I really like that. Yeah, I like that change. And it's...
It makes more sense.
Yeah, yes. And you can actually see her character being like that because she is fairly strong-willed through the film, so it doesn't seem like... Because even when I was watching it, I had the similar problems
I didn't get it.
How was she so easily swayed? And you had to think, well, she was like, hey, I'm up for this.
Yeah,
if
so...
If nothing else. Yeah. But I really like that.
Yeah, yeah, no, she has another agenda, which makes her more...
Yeah.
She's not susceptible to this. And also makes her not susceptible to Whistler.
Yeah, and I'm also making... I made the age gap way smaller.
Because
she looks quite young. As a matter of fact,
she looked really young.
Yeah.
The year after this, she played a high school student in another movie.
Yeah.
So, she looks really young and is really kind of uncomfortable. Tim Thomerson is, I mean, he's already in his like late 40s at this point, right?
I thought it made Phil look really skeevy.
Yeah.
Skeevier than having the drawer full of photos.
Yes.
Like...
Which is why I had to figure this into me is sometimes what I was putting onto the movie because I needed an explanation.
And honestly, I would keep the age gap because of this.
Yes.
Yeah. What she just said, that makes it even better. Mine's about 13 years. It's not nearly as gross as what it looked like. Yeah. It looked like it was like 25 or more.
Yeah, mine's much less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was just too big. I don't mind an age gap, but that was way too big for me.
Mm-hmm. But no, I
kept my Jack Death in his mid-40s, regardless of what body he was in.
Yeah.
And mine's early to mid-40s as well, so it's just I made my Lena a little bit older.
My Lena looks young because she played college level in a different film. I'm not going to reveal who it was yet, but she's actually in her mid-30s.
Yeah, my Lena also looks young as well, so she's older. But that was, I kept thinking, like, that's got to be how it works. Because I couldn't, like, again, the age gap made me uncomfortable. This Phil guy, the skeevy Phil guy, made me uncomfortable. And why she would fall for it made me very uncomfortable. And then she's just not the rest of the movie. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I love what you did there. It's such an easy change. Now I just want to keep that opening the same.
Yes. Yeah. Yay! Yeah.
Can we address the other elephant in the room?
Where the fuck did the elephant go? How do you not notice that? Holy shit.
A baby elephant made of light that just speaks the truth of the universe.
Wow, you're still coming down from Reefer Madness.
Yeah, oh, right. I am. Yeah.
That's awesome. Right.
Or from The Good Place.
So Whistler comes back as a cop. Now, what is Jack Death's character, or Philip Death's?
Oh, he was a reporter, wasn't he? Or a journalist?
Yeah, they never really explained that.
Sure.
I thought he was.
They may have mentioned it, but he was a cop as well.
But maybe no,
he wasn't.
Okay,
because Whistler is the one who jumps into a cop.
Yeah, that's
clearly would be his superior.
Yeah. And I think that's where the way they delivered it, I kind of got a little bit confused, expecting Death to be a cop again, right? Explaining why he had access to guns and stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, having him a reporter with.
Remember, the gun was sent back because the cure was sent in his holster.
I remember that. Yeah. Right, I do remember that. Yeah, no, obviously, because I just watched it. But yeah, I was a little bit confused by what he did because he had a lot of freedom to do whatever he wanted. Right.
Yeah.
Well, Jack wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's there for single mind. He wouldn't give a shit what Phil did.
Yeah.
Oh, other thing we got to fix is that time watch thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of do like the long second, but I think we can utilize that better.
That's what I meant more than anything else.
I do say the one time I did, and I did write this down, is the use of the long second where he zip lines down. He catches her, which is totally unrealistic, but the fact that he uses it to get down ahead of her falling now, is kind of interesting.
Yeah, what the long second does is it freezes time, or it slows it down, so it stretches 1 second into 10. Mm-hmm. The first time he uses it, he wastes a lot of it just by going, "Huh." And I, to be honest, if you're counting, he probably wasted all of his 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, it was wasted well before he picked her up. When I was looking at the movie, I'm like, "Oh, 1, 2, 3."
Yeah, so maybe we should extend it a little bit more, or at least have him practice with it beforehand.
Yes.
And I don't know if it would be a watch or something else, but I mean, he's coming from a future world where technology and time travel are being messed with. Now, I think this is very controlled technology. I want the council to be kind of the bad guys here.
Yeah. I like that idea.
And we can pull in some of Sam's ideas. Like, I like the idea of Whistler trying to undermine this future that's become really corrupt. It kind of mirrors what's going on in our own world now.
Well, and you kind of get that feeling from the opening of the movie that it is a little bit corrupt. It's not a good society.
No.
No, but clearly there's some, at least in parts of it, like that diner, and when you get outside, you can see spaceships and stuff, or at least anti-gravity technology and cars flying by. So at least there is a big separation of classes, because there's other times in that future that look pretty skeezy and road warrior-ish. So think the zones now, the big cities are where the rich people reside, and a lot of the lower class have to live outside the city because it's the only way that they can
maintain. Very Prayer of the Roller Boys kind of world as well.
Yeah.
Hunger Games. Same type of deal.
Yeah.
Unless if you're rich, you can live in fairly good comfort. But if you never had that money, you're never going to get it. There's no upward mobility. There's no way to get anywhere.
Now, imagine being in control of time and be able to tweak things here and there
to motivate and keep your power,
to control. You got rich via the stock market. It's just making good decisions and sending it back to yourself. That sort of thing. Like, these guys are tweaking their timeline to benefit themselves. Power.
I really like to lean into that a little bit more. I want to make the future a little more clear as to what's happening there, because it is kind of vague, right? Because it's not where the story takes place, so they don't really fill it out. But I think it should be filled out a little bit more,
because
it explains Jack a little bit more.
You're right, because that was part of it. I didn't quite get enough of that to find out why Jack is completely the way he is. There's a throwaway line about a trancer killing his wife, and that's all I get.
And he would blame the guy who was controlling the trancers, which is Whistler. Now, I had some ideas about what we need to tweak the trancer thing in general. In subsequent films, they made it look like it was a mix of hypnosis and chemical ingestion or whatever. And there's a chemical change, obviously, because when they are killed, or even slightly grazed, they fall down and disintegrate. So whatever's possessing them takes a great amount of effort and uses up the host resource. And they're sleeper agents. So
yeah.
Like, I would think this would have been developed initially as a spy thing,
yeah.
But something that wasn't perfected. And I'd like it to maybe, because it's the future, disseminated through technology, yeah. Which if you come back to a more present time, you'll have to use smartphones or whatever, but it'd be nanotech in the future,
yeah.
Where
yeah.
That's why he's randomly testing people, because it could just infect you virally if something
you just inhale it.
Yeah.
When you talk about a spy thing, that's actually really interesting, and I like that idea, because what it could be is like the council did develop this technology for transfers, mm-hmm. And they only really, I would say, the cellular deterioration or how it deteriorates the host body only really occurs once they go full transfer.
Yeah.
But the part of it is they're using it to spy on people because, like, oh my God, there's a problem there. I better change something in the past to fix this so this never happens.
Never go full transfer.
Yeah.
That's going to be a t-shirt.
Never go full transfer. Okay.
Charles Band, you can have that one. But yes, clearly they're living their regular lives until they're activated. So a transfer hunter like Jack Death or whatever trigger has, whatever they've been programmed to trigger to,
mm-hmm.
They are living their regular lives, yep. Until that trigger activates them.
Yeah.
It's subtle within the movie itself. It's there. But it's just not defined.
It's not very fleshed out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, in the future, I see tech being implants, like they're, mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah. So it's a very easy way to transmit it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Their phones are like, I mean, we're almost there now, where they're like permanently embedded in their wrists,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. So you can really lean into that, right? I mean, you could have a lot of fun with having sort of the cyberpunk alterations for some of the lower class characters,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? Right, where they don't get the, I still look human even though I have a fake eye. They have like a metal plate in their head with a screen on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you could really have fun with that.
Oh, and that tiny note in the original movie where Whistler's talking about, like, I don't know if he's like marking or giving like bands to like the homeless, mm-hmm. And all of that. Part of that is to like inoculate them against maybe being these transfers. Like he's trying to subvert this type of thing happening in the future, because like we say, we're making, yeah. Him the good guy, but it looks really seedy when he's doing it then.
Yeah, it's, there's about a 300 year gap between their future and the past.
Yeah.
And that seems about a good jump. We can even make it a little further if we want.
Well, this is the 25th century, so it's, yeah. Almost 500 years.
Yeah.
No, it was, I wrote it something. Down. It's technically 262, but they actually did say at one point about 300. Maybe it might have been in the second film. Might have mixed it, yeah, up.
Where they missed up their continuity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I did the math. 1985 is where the movie takes place,
mm-hmm.
And their future was 2247.
Okay. Oh, okay. I thought it was 23-something. Never mind.
Yeah. It was in the IMDb notes.
Yeah, they were inconsistent in their things, because at one, yeah. Point Jack does say in the 25th century.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
So I think I like about 500 years or so. Now,
yeah.
What if maybe Whistler's going back because the technology begins at that point in time?
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
And that's why he's trying to combat, because like the homeless were the ones they were experimenting on in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What would be easier?
Yeah.
If,
yeah.
You're a corrupt government.
Rather than being this lieutenant in a police force or even a captain, I think he was a captain.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
His descendant, Weisler, was a captain.
Which it actually works really well, because you do, over time names do change, right?
Yeah. So, no, I like, oh, that. Yeah. It's basically spelled the same.
Oh yeah, yeah. Ours changed when we came here. It's what happens?
Yeah, well, mine too. It's spelled the same, but we pronounce it differently than we do back in Holland.
Oh, mine's completely different.
Oh, nice.
Literally, they changed our last name when my father and grandmother came to Canada. So.
Oh wow.
Right.
Yeah, actually, when they got to Belgium, actually they changed it. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, in some instances, that was kind of normal, because when people were immigrating to other places, there was a lot of stuff about certain groups of people, and they knew that they had to hide that if they had to get anywhere.
Well, they were fleeing the Soviet Union, so they kind of had to.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. At least on my mom's side, a similar story where my mom's side of the family fled Germany into Russia, and then they were like, shit, this is the wrong way to go.
Yeah.
And then fleed out of there.
we left in like the 1700s. Before being mostly slaughtered by the British. Spent some time in Ireland and then came over in the 1800s.
Dr. Rat.
But you're our own little potato eater.
I am. I am. Love potatoes. They're great.
I know. Me too. I think I got a little Irish in there somewhere.
Absolutely. I would say you could. Everybody's got a little bit of something. You'd be surprised.
Yep. I'd be a mutt.
We've got the foundations of the technology happening at that point in time. Now, there is a problem there. Why would they be attacking Jack? If Jack's looking for Whistler, but if Whistler's technically the good guy, he's not actually controlling the Trancers. Well, would it be the descendant he's supposed to be protecting?
Well, I think that maybe Whistler's showing up at the wrong time and Jack's misconstruing what he's seeing.
Yeah, or he's trying to reverse some of this Trancer stuff. Like, he's trying to return these people back, but it's not going as well as it should. The poor guy can't catch a break.
Yeah, and he's showing up just a little bit too late to stop these Trancers from being turned. He knows that they're being tested on, and he's showing up just a little bit too late every time.
Before they turn.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Jack's showing up, seeing it look like it's Whistler.
Mm-hmm. What if the time travel is also bringing back the information within the infection of what goes into the sleeper agents to begin with? So them going back in time, Whistler or Jack, going back in time is what triggers the sleeper programming, for lack of a better term. The sleeper programming, it's them coming back is what programs that into these brand new Trancers that are just being developed now. So if they had never traveled back, this would have never happened in the first place.
I like the circular logic there. I don't know if it's maybe getting too complex, but I like it.
Well, I mean, the Trancers were still being developed at that point in time, but they wouldn't have known to go after Jack.
Yeah. I like where you're going there.
Unless there's something
if them coming back brings the sort of the final key component to the whole Trancer thing? Like, the Trancers never would have happened if they'd never gone back.
Yeah. Unless there's something inherent within a Trancer hunter, like Jack Death, maybe there's some sort of technological thing within his own body. Well, no, that doesn't make sense because he's only transferring his mind.
They're genetic. It's genetic.
Well, it's the DNA.
Yeah, there's something about their DNA that makes them immune to the Trancer virus.
And
yeah.
Maybe it's that immunity that triggers it in the first place, because the Trancer virus wants to act like a virus, and that's part of why they created the Trancer Hunters.
It's trying to protect itself.
It's trying to protect itself, and why the Council has Trancer Hunters to begin with, because it's technology that ran amok, that they can't control. It was developed for a subversive reason.
I have another idea, too. It's partly DNA, but we could also lean into the idea of, like, you know, why some people become open to cults and get theirs. Like, if you're at a particularly vulnerable point in your life, you are pretty vulnerable to that. That's why they killed Jack's wife, because they were hoping that they could make him vulnerable enough mentally.
So they could get somebody inside.
Essentially weaken his immune system by creating
his mental
trauma.
As soon as his mental health, make him available to this, because that's what cults do a lot of the time. They just take somebody who's like emotionally very vulnerable, and that's how they do it.
Maybe Whistler has taken control of this technology so he can get somebody inside. To eradicate this corrupt government in the first place. Maybe he's trying to use the Trancers for his own. I mean, he's using a horrible technology for
the
for the right reasons, but maybe to subvert this government. He's kind of like Magneto in a way, where like he's got the right idea, but he's creating an army without having to get anybody willingly to do so. I like your idea of that as well, because I'm like, oh, can we have a Trancers infomercial?
True. And I mean, the whole point of it, too, is it's sort of like, I mean, think about that future where you can, like, get so many people infected with Trancers. Like, I mean, if you're living a hard life and everything seems pretty hopeless, I mean, how easy would it be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all the Trancers would be, like, of the lower class, right? They're the ones who live on the ground, as it were, versus the rich and elite who are living in the clouds.
But you could also get some of the rich and elite who could be vulnerable if they're just stupid. That would be fun. So, I want some of that.
Yeah. So yeah, I kind of dig this idea where the Council, their descendants, developed this technology, but Whistler's taking control of it in the future to try to subvert their government. So here's this guy with the right idea, but maybe going about it the wrong way.
I like that idea.
Because it makes him more complex.
Well, and it makes him a more sympathetic villain. And boy, that always works really well on screen, usually. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you start understanding what they're going for.
Yeah, so the only question is where does that take our endgame at the end of the movie then, right?
True, because now we have to change that ending. In the ending of the original film, he stays behind with Lena. He doesn't want to go back to his future. He's got nothing there anyway.
Well, no. He sacrificed his opportunity to go back as well.
Yeah, right? he did, yes, because one of the cures to send him back is broken. But he destroyed Whistler's body. Whistler breaks in to...
Oh, yeah, where does he go when he sends him back?
Exactly. It's just out of the ether, right?
Oh.
So what a horrible fate to condemn him to. There's nothing to go back to. But yeah. We got to fix that, too, because Whistler has broken into this medical bay to get injected with this forced injection. And his body's laying there. Like, why did they have it still laying there for Jack to vaporize when they bring him in? And why is Jack the only one who can do this to begin with? I mean, none of that makes sense. So, to be honest, Jack shouldn't leave the force. He shouldn't have his little spat with McNulty. It's like, you can't go in around killing everybody.
Or you could have the engineer is in cahoots with him, and he's hooked up somewhere to where Whistler's body would be, and he just shifts him back into somebody they've decided they're going to put him into. I don't know if it would work, but then that goes along down the line doesn't work.
Yeah. Because the whole idea is that it has to be part of your genetic history, right?
Yeah.
Ooh. A half-brother that he doesn't know about?
Maybe he's got his own raw version of this technology.
Oh, or
so
maybe...
So that way they don't have his body lying there.
Yeah.
That made no sense to me.
Or maybe Whistler was one of these kind of elite people, and he's like going like, how did this get there? Like, and he just sort of is one of those people.
He's become disillusioned.
So what you can do is like one of these elite people, you can hook him up in Whistler's area, but they would share a genetic code enough, like maybe a half sibling or something, and just ship him back in there.
Well, I mean, he's still traveling down his own line. That I'm fine with, and I'm totally cool with. He was former part of this elite. He was, I think, the same as Jack Death. Yeah, he's a trained officer, but he's seen the corruption on the inside.
He's been sent back to do some of these things these questionable things for the council. Yeah. He realizes that they're questionable.
Yeah, and realizes it's wrong. And it's because of him having been inside, he's been able to co-opt some of this technology.
Yeah.
He prepared for this before he left.
Yeah.
Ooh, and when he comes back, like with his consciousness, because he was in the past and changed the thing, and he comes back, and these people don't remember changing the thing, because that's the whole part. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, I see what happened here. He sees the changes, and that's why he knows.
Yeah, I like that. And yeah, they don't even know why they have his body in custody.
Now, is he going to destroy the chairman's lines, like in the original? Or is he there to stop the development of technology, or both?
I think both.
Because he's utilizing the technology in the past.
He's hedging his bets.
Yeah.
He can do one of two things, because he's seen how you can go into the past and somebody else just slots into that area.
And this is the Hitler baby scenario.
Yeah.
You know, like, what will the future be if he wasn't there? And that is the big question. And that's why I want Jack to go back to the future. Mm-hmm. Wait, that's a different movie.
Yeah. To return to his real life.
Return to his previous life.
That doesn't ring off the tongue so well, so we should make that movie. To return back to his previous life to see this future that's changed.
Yeah.
And, maybe it's not so good, but that could be your sequels.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe all this good work ends up being actually bad.
Yeah, and maybe he doesn't kill Whistler. Maybe they go back together.
No, I see that. What I'm thinking is the third act is them discovering the head of the corporation.
I like the idea that he's still his own grandfather. That could still happen.
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, because they
great-grandfather or whatever it is. How many greats that is.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
But I like the idea because it's still his descendant.
Yeah.
Whatever impregnation probably happened on Philip's side. So.
Yeah. Well, it's Philip's body.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in there, but whatever shoots out is still Philip. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So I kind of like that. He doesn't have to fall in love and stick with her. Yeah. That could be maybe his own influence on Philip's life that changes Philip somewhat.
Well, I like the fact like she's still impregnated by Philip, but she just ditches his ass.
I don't like
the I see that. That's what I see is he's a present father, but she wants nothing to do with him on a personal level.
Because she knows too much about him.
Well, I mean, this could be an underlying story because there's time. And this could be fun to do. This just popped in here. Because, you know, when Jack, his mind pops into Philip's body, what happens to Philip? It's just gone. He says Philip is
repressed.
Isn't here
they
right
actually
now.
Say that he's sort of locked away.
What if it? Yeah. What if it isn't fully repressed? Like, what if he's in there?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
talking to Jack at that time, and
or at least observing what's going
observing,
on.
Yeah. So that character can learn and grow into to be a better person.
Oh, like or that, if yeah. it's Jack just taking the driver's seat at a certain point, like going, dude. You fuck. That's not how you treat women, you ass.
Yeah, I like the idea where it just becoming a father, but Jack's influence on him also makes him realize because
there's
what
a moral
the
moral implication of going back and then staying in there. You've just
gotten rid of him.
You've destroyed
a personality,
life.
Yeah.
Gone.
I love that when he's sitting there. You can just sit there too. He's like going, "I cannot believe I'm descended from you."
Yeah.
You could have
that talk in the mirror when he's looking in the mirror. Yeah.
Either that. I mean, alternatively, I really like that idea. But alternatively, what if the personality goes through to the future? I mean,
like they actually swap.
They actually swap. So, which gives the opportunity to reprogram the Philip personality or give him all sorts of misinformation so when he goes back into his own body, he can continue to motivate the future that they want.
Mm.
There's both of them are good ideas. I like the idea of him chattering in the back.
Yeah, I like your idea, but I think that in order to have...
One's more comic relief and one's really dark.
Yeah. I think what they want... at least the council-wise, they wouldn't want the past version to really come up unless they knew they could use it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little too dangerous to let it know in the past what's going to happen.
They know that by changing Philip, they're going to change Jack, and then all of a sudden all that work they're doing is not going to work because they wouldn't have the Jack that they sent back in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if they send somebody back, the previous version of them goes back, they might undo the changes they know that are
What
there.
If the council chambers too are like protected temporarily? Not temporarily, but temporally.
Yeah.
So they can be aware of the changes in the timeline, but only within the chambers they would know this, like because they would still retain the memories of the unchanged timeline.
Yeah. I can see why you would want to do that, because they need to know what they've been doing.
Either that or they carry around some devices or whatever. I mean, that probably makes more sense rather than they don't not prisoners in this building.
Well, they would. You know what? Maybe that's the whole point. They are prisoners in this building, and they know what they have to keep there. Like, because
that's
I
a
don't
sacrifice
know.
for the future that they have.
Yeah, like I mean, they're sitting there, and what they're doing is they're basically just building the wealth of their entire family, the power of their entire family.
Mm-hmm.
They're sacrificing themselves, but like, yeah, it's all at the expense. But they're doing whatever they want just because they want their family to just have everything, and everybody else to have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then there's also self sacrifice there, and that makes them
doesn't.
Oh, no, but I mean, that venality of it, it's still there, even if you're in that
place.
That's
the seat of power, regardless.
Yeah, you still have... They want the power. They don't really give a shit about the rest of it. They love having that power, and they will do whatever it takes. They'll shit in a bucket if they have to.
I get what you're saying there. I don't know if it works, but yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things that they don't explain in the movie. We don't have to explain in ours, but let's just throw that one out there.
Yeah, or they have some way of monitoring changes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Right. I think that they do. They have like a database that
ooh, a temporal database.
A temporal database. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That would work.
Yeah, that's protected. So then they can see what the changes are and when they happened and what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and see
and monitor things that they want to change.
Yeah, because they're the ones who are changing in the first place. Yeah. So they'd want a way to track that.
Oh
yeah.
Man! And if they had somewhere where it was an unexpected consequence, they're like, damn it, we got to fix that again because that has to happen.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that the events of this movie are going to be one of those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice.
Cool. I think we got a good build there. I like how we changed Lena. And in the end, we don't need Jack to stay. I would say the moral implications of staying are what keeps him from staying.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's like, okay, I really like you.
But
maybe give her a few tips. This is what's coming. But yeah. Well, I can't take this guy's life away from him.
And yet. Well, not even that. But at the end of the day, he's like going, I don't think I continue having sex with my great, 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 great grandmother.
Right.
Yes.
I think that's wrong.
Good point.
Very good point. Yeah, because, yeah, that is pretty uncomfortable.
Yes, the fact that
now that you've vocalized it, it's quite uncomfortable.
Yes.
Yeah, it's far more uncomfortable than him being his own
group. I don't think either character ever came to that conclusion.
Yeah, nope. This is why I'm here.
Okay, so we got Whistler figured out. We got Jack figured out.
We got Philip figured out.
McNulty's fine. So the descendants of the chairman that they have to protect, that Jack's been sent to protect,
they are the ones who are running this lab that's developing the trans, right?
Yeah, rather than being some burnt out baseball player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A guy named Hap, played by a guy named Biff.
Yeah, because they would already be aware too. So if some of this technology has been sent back in time, they've already kind of had chats with themselves.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or at least they're actually
guiding the development of the trans.
Or the chairmans are jumping back, making the notes in their research. And helping them along the way. So they do these micro jumps, implant the idea.
Or they just send back notes.
Oh, I like the micro jumps where it seems like their own idea, like Inception-wise, because that would be less weird. Because I think
these notepads showing up on their table.
Yeah, oh, right?
But I'd also like maybe just like just
fun, though.
the teeniest of side stories where a couple of them are like going to the doctor because like, I'm losing bits of time and I don't know how.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe like their notepads or I guess it would be
like
iPads or whiteboards and that sort of thing. Yeah. They come back long enough to go wipe out something, put a new digit in there, a new alphabet letter or whatever to the power of whatever. And they come back, wipe it out, change it, and then they go back.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that's it. That's it. Yeah.
I love that. Mm-hmm. That works really well, actually. Yeah,
just little pushes.
Yeah.
So
nothing too huge.
Yeah, so it doesn't manipulate anything too horribly. It just gets them in the path that they want them to be on.
Yeah,
that's why they don't want to have drastic changes. One of my micro changes.
Yeah, yeah, and that's where your end game comes in, because we've kind of covered the flaw of the logic of Jack not going back, but we haven't talked about the final battle, right?
The final battle. Then once they realize Jack has turned on them.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's the chairman who have to jump back into their timeline, or maybe send their own team of people back in their own timeline.
The trancers they are currently experimenting on, which are homeless people.
Yes, they have a small
army. There's an army.
They've built an army in that time, because we've had all these misunderstanding battles between Jack and Whistler before. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
And they're fighting together at the end.
And yes, they've teamed up at the end. And of course, yes, then you'll have the massive trend, because it is a zombie movie at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And
But we had to address that.
Absolutely. Yeah. By the way, yes, this is a Christmas movie.
Yes.
The fact that we are doing this close to Christmas, and I have yet to mention that this actually happens at Christmas time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, because Lena is an elf at a Santa's grotto.
Yes, and Santa winds up being a trancer that Jack singes. That's what they call when they vaporize. Yeah. They leave this big singe mark on the ground. Of course, that traumatizes everybody.
Yep. Oh, and you have Mrs. Claus. Security, we have a problem at the North Pole.
Which was awesome.
Very few people could master that line delivery. She nailed it.
She nailed it. And I love that kind of seriousness to a gag.
Mm-hmm.
And we need more of that. That's awesome. It should be an action comedy at the end of the day.
Oh, and that's sort of what I leaned into in my casting, actually.
And we even had three wise men.
Yes.
Yes, we did.
The three transients that lead them to Whistler's... Hap. It was Hap's hideout, where he was also living amongst the transients. He was a baseball player in the 60s that fell on hard times because he was an alcoholic.
Yes.
Oh, and I have something interesting casting-wise. I cast them just for fun, but you'll be happy.
Unfortunately, we've wiped Hap out of our timeline.
I know.
Yeah, my casting still works for one of the counselors.
Yeah, we'll still...
Oh, if we still have homeless people, it still works.
Great. It's too bad I didn't... Well, I did actually cast my counselors, but I didn't. I've cast in such a way where that's something that bothered me, is like Philip and Jack look awfully similar over 300 year difference.
Well, genetic lines, right? I mean, they did try to make him look different with the darker hair and the scar, and they made him try to make him look older and more haggard. Yeah. And I mean, I appreciated the effort.
I appreciated the effort. Yes.
Well, at one point too, I'd walked away and went to the bathroom, and there's a point where he's put him in the tub, and there's just water falling down at him. I thought that was Tim Thomerson in the tub with a hat on.
Well, like, I got thinking about this the other night. Like, when you think about that amount of time, and we've got these genetic tracking things now where you can figure out what's in your bloodline and help you figure out your own history. And, oh, I'm 5%, whatever. Yeah. So I got thinking about
which the DNA company owns.
Which really changed my... Yeah, I'll never do it. But I got the thought of... Sometimes there's something really weird in there, like, you know, how am I 2% Nigerian or whatever?
You can be.
That would be an interesting way to go.
Well, you know, when I was doing my casting, what I really wanted, and for these future movies, this is something I always want to try and do. I wasn't successful this time, I admit it, but I'd always like to try and go with actors who don't look like any particular race, because I would like to think that our future is homogenous.
It would be nice.
You've always liked that Gattaca kind of, the genetic pool has ever becomes beautiful.
Well, not beautiful necessarily, but they're
or perfected in the gene pool.
Not even that. Where there's so much mingling that there's no such thing as a single race anymore.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Like, that's that would still take more than 300 years. But
it would.
Yeah. But I like to see more, leaning more towards that way.
Yeah.
But it's increasingly hard to do that because we're not there yet. So it's hard to cast that way.
Yeah.
Right?
Because like, it's such a cool idea, because I'm like, everybody has like the nice, like, we just look, there's so many different varieties of people, and we've kind of come together, and there's so much unique beauty in there.
Yeah. I think that's maybe not this future, but that's still a great idea. But most of this movie is going to be take place in whatever era we put it in. But I assume it's going to be 2019, 2020.
In and around our current era, because we can have so much more fun with the technology now.
Yeah.
Oh, and that DNA thing, we could just put an ad in there for something like that. Yeah.
Ancestry.com.
Yeah.
Where's our money, you assholes?
We now own your genetic material.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's just one of those fantasies of mine whenever we do something that's that set far enough into the future where it's a possibility.
Yeah, I think you've mentioned it in some other shows we've done.
It would be great. Yeah. It would be great.
Yeah, it would be, where it isn't about race. Yeah. I mean, in this case, it's about class, but...
Yeah.
But part of that future, too, is if it's all blended into one thing, you've lost your historic identity as well.
And which
brings its own inherent issues.
Yeah, but that's how a lot of stuff happened in the past.
But it would also make that whole genetic history thing really interesting.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's sort of why I really liked it, is because now you're dealing with a much broader pool of genetic history.
Yes. Copyright Invasion of the remake, we came up with our own original idea, so we're, maybe we'll expound on that in future episodes.
We shall.
That's ours. That's our movie.
It is.
Copyright.
Copyright Invasion remake, copyright at Invasion of the remake, copyright.
Copyright, it's ours, damn it.
Okay, anything else we need to address here? I think we've even talked about some of the weirder shit here.
Yeah.
By the way, have you ever seen a tanning booth like that?
No.
He gets trapped in. Okay, Jack at one point gets trapped. He goes to track this guy who's the descendant of one of the chairmen. Mm-hmm. He's just works in this tanning place.
Yeah.
And instead of a tanning bed, like, he's been locked. The guy turns into a trancer.
Yeah.
And he's locked in this... from an oven?
Oven, yeah, that's what it is.
They're not tanning beds. It's a whole room with tanning lights. Like, this is very weird for 1985. So weren't we just standing there naked?
Well,
I guess so.
You can get like tanning booths where you kind of stand in naked. But no, they shouldn't ever go up that high, ever.
That was massive.
It was massive.
It would be a very tiny chamber. It wouldn't be like that.
No, so I don't know what the fuck that thing was.
But that does bring up a good point. We didn't talk about the irony of the fact that Jack is ultimately the one that kills that counselor's descendant.
Yes.
Yes.
Well,
he's a trancer, he's unsavable. But it is. The Whistler manipulated Jack into killing that descendant.
Yeah.
So Jack's the one who wound up doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because who's to say he would have ever activated it as a trancer if Jack hadn't have been there?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. He was he didn't look that bright. Yeah.
No, he was working in a tanning salon.
He was already kind of a tan zombie.
Wrong with working in a tanning salon, but yeah,
Well, McNulty was going to take him off the case after that,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little girl McNulty. Ah, so fun. This is the best I could do.
Oh, we can do some more with McNulty too. Is when little girl McNulty comes back, is not to bring Jack back, is to give him some information that they found out about Whistler. That's what starts them to start the catalyst for the partnership. He's like, I found out that Whistler's actually trying to stop.
Or at least something where they can extrapolate.
Yeah.
I don't think it should be as blatant, but it's like, hey, this might be not as cut and dry as you think.
Yeah, and, exactly.
Things are afoot at home, and I'm keeping as low profile as I can. Mm-hmm.
But he says you might want to actually talk to Whistler before you kill him.
Yeah.
Ooh, or, because he killed that one counselor's guy, now McNulty has seen something very odd happening. Mm-hmm. And so that's when he comes in and says, maybe talk to Whistler. We want all the information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that idea, because then it gives Jack more of a motivation to actually talk and listen to him than just sort of them ending up at the same time and having that rooftop scene, which was probably the worst scene in the movie, to be honest.
Yes.
Which we can now eliminate.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I still want her crashing through some guy's window. That was funny. Merry Christmas. And she goes through the door.
Speaking of, okay, earlier in the film, Jack kills Santa Claus.
Yep.
Later in the film, he doesn't realize it's Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe he's far enough in the future. The red suited guy doesn't look at that future. Yeah, they probably wouldn't.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Yeah.
Or Christmas is very, very different.
Okay. Yeah. He also drove to the diner. So why does he have such a hard time driving in 1985? His hands are at 12 and 12.
Yes.
I'm like, that is the most awkward driving.
Oh, and he's so thrilled about the car too, right?
He is.
That was one thing that I did want to discuss is when he does that in the car, and it was Tim Thomerson specifically when he did that. I'm like going, does he do that in movies frequently where he just holds it like 12 and 12? Because it seemed very familiar.
He didn't do it in the sequel. So when I watched the Transfers 2, he was driving normally.
I'm talking about other movies. Because like when he did that, it seemed like I've seen him do that before.
And I'm like, oh my God, that is so weird.
Yes.
Awkward.
It was. You couldn't not see it. It was like, what the hell are you doing?
Yep. And he's like, he should be swerving considering how much he's turning that wheel.
For a guy who comes from the future, there's a lot in the past that just puzzles him.
Well, and it should. It really should.
I mean, yes, things should, but there are some things that shouldn't.
Yeah, true. I did like the one note where he's like, I know this place because I swim through here all the time.
That was good, yes, because he was diving and he's like, I think I found Grauman's theater down there.
Yeah, that's fun. I would like to keep that.
Yeah.
And that clearly also explains why he doesn't know where the specific street is.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have a street sign. It's underwater.
Yeah, I mean, I would think a lot of it's torn down. I mean, you think a metropolis has gone to a megapolis scenario.
And L.A. is Arizona Bay.
Yeah.
Well, and when you sink a city, stuff's going to go different and wrong. Like that one Lake Minnewanka in Banff, like there used to be a town in the bottom of that. Mm-hmm. And when you dive in there's not much left, but you can see bits.
That beat saying Los Angeles.
Yeah.
This is Los Angeles that is sunken. It's the new Atlantis.
Yep.
Yeah. No, and I really like that because things do happen over hundreds of years.
Yeah. All right, let's move this along. Let's get to some casting. Hey, okay. Sam, you want to start us off?
Mm-hmm. Sure, considering mine's probably the shortest of them. I only cast our four main characters.
Right.
Yeah. And my director. So, and I didn't go as thorough as Jay did. I cast the same actor for both Jack and Phil. So I thought that Chris Pine would be fun for Jack Death.
That's a very good choice.
Yeah, because he's handsome and he could play kind of rough and tumble too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For my Lena, I went with an actress named Devery Jacobs. You guys actually might recognize her from Another Wolf Cop.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. And American Gods.
Cool. Awesome. Right,
so she's about 29, 30, and Chris Pine's like 41, 42. So
okay.
That's not icky.
Yeah, that's not icky at all, I don't think. For my Whistler, I went a little bit older. I went with Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, nice. I think that he'd play a really great Whistler, actually. Yeah.
He'd be a good cult leader.
And especially if he came from the council or whatever, or if he was a little higher up the chain, above Jack or whatever, before changing. Because who knows how long he's been rebellious. No, I like that idea.
Yeah. For the Hap character, who can now be one of the counselor's descendants, and actually I'm going to do some more casting on the fly.
Nice.
So for one of the counselor descendants, the Hap character, I went with Chadwick Boseman.
Nice.
Okay.
Right? And then for his counselor ancestor, Keith David.
Okay.
Nice.
And for my other two counselors, I'm going with Art LaFleur and Tim Thomerson.
Sure.
Nice.
Yeah. I like what you did there. I got something similar going on.
Something a little different.
Yeah. And then for my director, I went with Brian Taylor, who directed the Crank movies with his directing partner. And then he's also directed...
That makes sense because those are crazy.
They are crazy. I thought that would be a lot of fun. Yeah. Plus, he also directed a whole bunch of episodes of Happy, along with writing a bunch of episodes of Happy. So,
oh, and that's mental.
Mental and funny.
Yeah.
And like this, bringing that right, that dark, gritty look, but still be funny.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, I like that.
That's awesome.
Cool.
All right.
Trash.
Me? Okay, so like I say, I leaned into the comedy in this because I thought, I'm just going to do something different with it. So for my Jack, I went with somebody first, and then I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go way out of left field. Ron Funches. I want to see him be gritty, but like in a way I think he could do where he's delightful as well.
I don't think he could ever do gritty, but it'd be great to see him try.
Absolutely. That's what I want. And for my Lena, I went with Brenda Song. She's in a show I've been like binging called Dollface. It's really good. She's kind of a tough one there, and I liked it. Whistler Chris D'Elia, he's a stand-up, but he's also kind of like, he can be kind of hardcore and tough, and like I could see him being a cult leader, and that's sort of what I was casting for at the beginning.
Right.
For Ash, which is the one counselor, Beth Bears, she's an older lady. You've seen her in everything. Yeah, she's that lady you've seen in that thing that one time.
Okay.
And then for McNulty, I made McNulty Tim Thomerson. Yeah. As the old guy.
I'm sad that I didn't even think about that.
And then as he jumps into Esther Pavitsky, who's like this young actress, but she's always so kind of timid and stuff, but I want to see her be just a badass.
Cool.
I think it'd be funny. The engineer is Kat Dennings.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I like that.
And then for the director, I went with Roxanne Benjamin. And the reason I did that is because she's directed two of my favorite Creepshow episodes of this year. And one was, I think it was like Skin Crawlers. It was both disgusting and funny. And I loved that.
Nice.
So,
Brand new director.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I like that a lot. Okay. Well, I definitely went deeper.
Nice. Oh, wait. I had one more thing.
Okay, go for it.
For my hobos, I had for Hap, I had Lance Henriksen because of Tim Thomerson and Lance Henriksen. And then the batter was Elliot Gould. But then when I was looking around as they were sitting around, I'm like, ooh, that looks like the cast of the Big Bang Theory. So I want them to all be bums in the movie. Okay. Now I'm done.
Fair. Lots of Easter eggs in yours. Okay, for mine, I'll do the director because everybody knows I'll forget if I don't. Mm-hmm. My director, I went with Doug Liman,
who directed
The Bourne Identity, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Swingers, Jumper, and Edge of Tomorrow. So he's done these action sci-fi things, and with Edge of Tomorrow, he's done the time jumps and how to change things. So he gets it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. So that's why I picked him. For my Jack Death, because I'm doing time jumps, and as I said, they don't have to be the same.
Nope.
as we talked about, the 21 and me or whatever it is. I like the idea of him jumping into something surprising.
Yeah. Or you could have like him play himself in the mirror. That's who he kind of sees.
That would be that would be even more fun because for future Jack Death, the one in the future, I went with Carl Urban.
Nice.
Okay. Kind of playing off the Dredd thing, Judge Dredd. And for the present day Jack Death, Idris Elba.
Nice.
Nice.
Because just that first time he looks in the mirror, we'll be like, holy shit, I had no idea.
I don't know. See, that's tough. I'd be sitting there like, the first time he looks in the mirror is like going, oh, so I'm like super hot in the past.
Yeah. He's like, still got it.
Yeah, I'm hot now, but I'm super hot.
This is why I got good genetics.
Yep.
Okay, for my Whistler, for future version of Whistler, I went with Colin Farrell.
Nice.
And for present day, I went with Zachary Quinto. Because at the time, I still was thinking he was going to be maybe evil, but he can go both ways. And honestly, there's a similarity there.
I was about to say, yeah.
That I, you know, as I was looking things up, I'm like, huh, that kind of works.
Yeah.
For Lena, I went with Jessica Roth. yes, as I just discussed earlier from Happy Death Day,
yeah,
she does play college level in that, but she's like 32.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a bit of a difference, but it's about a 15-year age gap between them.
And as Happy Death Day has showed us, there's some action, some toughness she can totally do.
And let's face it, regardless of your age, you'd want to do it, Idris Elba.
Yeah. Who are we kidding?
Who are we kidding? For Chairman Spencer, I went with Michael Caine.
Nice.
For Chairman Ash, I went with Helen Mirren.
Nice.
Also nice.
For McNulty, future McNulty is Dave Bautista.
Nice.
It's already happening in your heads. That's great. And for past one, for present day McNulty, I have Sadie Sink. She's the really mouthy one from Stranger Things.
Yay!
Very nice.
I was really proud of that one.
That's awesome.
And for Hap, just because at the time I didn't know if we were going to keep him a baseball player, a drunk baseball player, but I love the idea of the drunk baseball player being Kevin Costner.
Very nice.
It's like, wow, that didn't play out, did it?
Yeah.
Your field of dreams got shattered.
Yeah, no, his name's Bull.
Those dreams, like, oh, yeah, so
his name was Bull.
You were, and all these people, all these drunks are like just jiving and like, you were not in Bull Durham. Liar. And that drunk jibing him, Tim Robbins.
Awesome. So I got the really expensive cast, but
oh, but love it.
We all did really good on that.
It's so fun.
But once I got creative, I was like, oh, I get to do them twice.
You know, I really love excited. The idea of doing them twice as well, like with the council members as well. Hadn't even thought of that.
Because there's jokes. Like, just the jump itself would be a fun joke.
It would be a fun joke. And because it kind of plays into the joke that's already there, because there's that moment there where you're looking at the mirror and it's like he's looking at his face like it's foreign to him, even though it's exactly the same face. Yeah. So I like the way you did that. And the thought did occur to me, but to be honest with you, my brain was shut off when I did my casting.
Yeah.
It took me a long time for it to click. Like, I watched it
once
Friday.
Once I started, it was
yesterday before things started rolling in my head.
Yeah. Once I started figuring it out, it sort of flowed. But like, when you talk about the more casting, I'm like, oh, and I want one where somebody is like a male or female future member and goes back to a male or female descendant. Like, they flip. Mm. That would be fun. He's like going, oh no, this is going to be weird.
Yeah. And they do that,
wouldn't that
they
be odd?
Do that a little bit with the kid. I mean, not only is she much younger, but she's also, there is a gender swap there, which makes that much funnier, especially with Dave Bautista as McNulty.
Yeah. Oh, I knew you'd like that. Yeah, this big burly dude who's just action star. And I love the idea. Like, what?
Look, I'm fine with pink. The pink isn't the problem. It's this princess shit. What are we telling little girls?
Yes.
What happened?
And why am I so small?
Exactly.
And when I thought about that girl from Stranger Things, I mean, she might be too old now because she's, I think, 18 now. But she still is perfect.
Nice. Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, no, I love that. That was awesome.
Yay.
Well, we had a lot of fun with that.
Oh, yeah. We figured out a lot more. There's a lot more to be had. And when we talk about how they both go back to the future, any sequel stuff, that kind of is where that can start.
Well, it sets it up as a partnership that gives you a whole new realm of directions you can go.
Yeah, you're not stuck in the past anymore with the same formula. Or you've freed it up so if you're jumping again, you can jump to different timelines.
You don't even need to jump. Yeah. You have this beautiful future world where you can have all kinds of fun stuff happening.
I mean, you don't have to, sure. Yeah. But, I mean, the time jump and the transfers were kind of the hitch. And that's part of the problem with the franchise is, well, you got rid of Whistler. Oh, well, how do you do this again? Well, we got Whistler's brother. And then I don't even know how they keep going for four more movies.
Yeah.
Me either. But
it's like his sister, his brother's cousin's uncle. Like,
Exactly.
Even though twice removed. Trances, they're not about trancers.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's like, come on, guys. Yeah. It gets a little ridiculous. I mean, if this guy was the one source, we've now freed that up where it's not just one guy.
Well, that's the thing is, we made it about trancers rather than time travel.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And the time travels, that's been done to death. And if Terminator is the recent Terminator film has proven nothing, is that's played out.
Yeah.
So we don't need it anymore. This is a good kind of pilot into that, and then we can do something else with the second film.
Yeah, we could even have some fun and have them go forward into time.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. You know, see what might be. And
absolutely. It's like,
well, shit, that's not good. We got to change that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then you could have that whole adventure taking place in their present. Mm-hmm. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I...
Oh, and if you ever want something like going forward in time, all of a sudden like, they bring Lena forward and she's like, God damn it.
Yeah. But don't they become guilty of doing exactly what the chairmans did?
Well, true. That's the whole morality thing. And that's the beauty of it.
It is.
Yeah. We've created something that could be a really interesting universe.
You know, for being action comedy, we got something a lot deeper than that.
Yeah, but we still have the action buddy comedy happening yet.
But I think like the whole thing is like bringing stuff forward. The reason the chairmans didn't want that is because it might have undone what they did. But putting people forward in them, they don't have that thing because their morality is about they need to figure this out. Mm-hmm. It's not about keeping that power, making sure that their changes stay.
Yeah.
But it does come down to justifying and changing as well.
Yeah.
And I love that idea for a second film. So
nice.
Yeah. Cool.
We've already got a franchise.
We've kept it going.
Yes. Not only have we remade this movie, we've created a universe.
And we've stuck with the whole Charles Band pattern where he just likes to pack shit into a movie.
Oh, yeah. We packed even more shit in.
I know. But, yep. I mean, I would think ours would be a little longer because the original movie is like 76 minutes.
Yeah, ours would definitely be time-wise longer.
But you watch his stuff. There's a pattern to it. It's just like, here's all this comic book-y stuff mashed together. We're not going to explain it because we don't have any time for it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When I got to like that end scene, I'm like, oh, wait, this is the end. Like, it really did sneak up on me. Like, it's not just because it's 76 minutes. It's fast.
Yeah. And I certainly, I think the action that we do have really needs to be amped up and really choreographed, too. Yeah. I love the idea of there being like a brawl between Whistler and Death.
Yeah. You got to have that evolution to what a modern action movie looks like as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you can have some really good, fun action sequences because you get that scene with Whistler versus Death, and later on it becomes the buddy cop movie.
Yeah.
And then you can have them kicking ass against the Trancers as well.
Yeah.
You can have a lot of fun, mix a little bit of the raid in there.
Lena's joining in, and at certain points maybe it's because some of her punk friends show up. And they help out.
Let's keep her punk, man.
Yeah. Punk
but golf? Make her a proper punk. None of this half-assed punk shit.
That one dude, there's like three guys that kind of come up on Jack, and he's like, don't.
Yeah.
And he's just got these big things. There's a couple of guys that got the traditional mohawks, but this guy just had these two big things on either side of his head, like horns, with his hair. And I'm like, what is that?
Something somebody would have done.
Yeah.
Used like they used amazing.
To call them Liberty Spikes, but usually you'd have more of them.
Yeah. But, okay. And you'd also like to keep those up, like the amount of
I have
stuff.
To defer to my actual punk friend.
Yeah. Like glue. Didn't they use like actual glue to make them stick? Yeah,
sometimes they'd use white glue.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing strong enough to hold it.
Like paste, like flour and water.
I was trying to figure out if that band was somebody.
You know, I meant to look it up and I forgot.
I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
I couldn't find it.
Because I love that rendition. I want it.
Me too.
If all Christmas songs were like that, I would listen to Christmas songs.
I have a heavy metal Christmas album. You might like that.
Sweet.
Okay, well, guess what? That was one of our Christmas episodes, believe it or not.
Yes.
And we got another one for you next week, and it'll be our last of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a couple of specials to get you through the holidays, and we'll be back in January with something regular after New Year's. But of course, we'll have our regular Christmas special, and then we'll be doing Cult Movie A Go-Go 2.
Yes. I know what I want in it.
Oh, no. I'm dreading. I'm dreading what this is going to be.
I will defer to you because you are so good at finding those quirky little...
Cult. You know the cults of the cult.
I have to dig because I don't watch that stuff a lot of the times either. But man, I come across some cool trailers.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll share those with you on our New Year's special.
Yes.
Okay, well... That was it for Trancers 1984. Do us a favor, like us, subscribe, tell your friends to do the same if you haven't already, and find us on a ton of different places, but especially Apple Podcasts, and give us a 5-star rating and a short review over on iTunes and Apple Podcasts or whatever provider you happen to be on.
Mm-hmm.
But Apple's the big one. Help us out.
Yeah, it's still the podcast place.
Yeah, so do us a favor. It helps get more
earballs
on the show. We're in a lot of places. Go find us on our social media or at Invasion of Remake on Twitter, Invasion of the Remake on Facebook and Instagram, and Invasion of the Remake at gmail.com. Our link tree is there. Mm-hmm. But we're on all the major podcast platforms. So just search us out. We're even on
frickin' YouTube.
So no excuses. If you can't find us, it's because you're not looking.
Mm-hmm. You're hiding from us.
That's right.
But you're listening, so you found us.
That's
tell
right.
your friends.
Tell your friends who are hiding from us.
Trancer. Tell your friends.
Spread the invasion. All right, that's it. I'm Jason.
I am always Sam.
And I continue to be Trish.
And we are out of here.
That was too much.
Too much what? Hey, wait a minute. Lena.
I should get some sleep, don't you think?
Well, Phil, I hope you enjoyed yourself again.